All right, next on the program is the efficacy of pethoxamid in cotton and crop tolerance. James Rose, Tom Barber, Jason Northworthy, Zach Hill, and Aaron Ross, University of Arkansas.
All right, thank you for the introduction. Today I'm going to be talking about a new chemical that will be coming out here soon, pethoxamid was introduced. But when a new chemical comes onto the market, everybody wants to know kind of three questions. Why should I switch? How do I know it'll work, and is it better than what I already use? So I'll be talking about efficacy of pethoxamid and crop tolerance in cotton. Just a little introduction here. Looking at group 15 herbicides specifically here, it was in 1940 there was only 15 groups used, and between 1940 and 1970 there was really a big increase in the number of modes of action. And some of the research been done with that is group 15 herbicides exhibit better control when they are tank mixed with a broad spectrum herbicide, providing residual control of palmer amaranth, as Whitaker found in 2010. And as you can see, group 15 herbicides here are a relatively large group of herbicides by the mode of action. Examples of this include Warrant Dual and what will be called a pethoxamid. Current options for pigweed control in cotton, pre-plant, pre and post over the top, and post directed lay-by. You have several options here, but if you look at the pre specifically, there's not many pre-emergent herbicides for cotton in the group 15s. So that pethoxamid will provide another option for that. And if you can see the ones that are highlighted in yellow, those are chemicals that or groups that do have pigweed resistance in Arkansas. Looking at group 15 herbicides, the mode of action is a lipid inhibitor in the chlorosetamide family, and common chemical examples again, like dual magnum, tolachlor, acetachlor being warrant, and pethoxamid. Looking at pethoxamid, is being developed by FMC and the chlorosetamide family, as I said, for proposed launched in 2017 for use in cotton, soybean, canola, corn, rice, and sunflower. It'll be for residual use by itself and as a tank mix. So for this research, our hypothesis was will pethoxamid be more effective than other chlorosetamides in the control of palmer amaranth and other grass species. So for this, we had two objectives: determine the activity of pethoxamid relative to other group 15 herbicides and premixes, and determine if its fit in Liberty Link and Roundup Ready programs is better or equivalent to current options. For this, we planted a Stoneville 5289, which is a glottal Liberty Link twin link cotton. We had a randomized complete block design with four replications, plot size 12.6 by 28, so it was four row plots. And we also sprayed at 12 gallons per acre with a 110-015. AIXR nozzle. Analysis was done with ANOVA, mean separating using Fisher's LSD at 0.05. So we had two trials here that we ran. One looking at residual control rates of pethoxamid in relation to S-metolachlor and acetachlor, which we use warrant and dual. And then the second trial was looking at palmer amaranth and barnyard grass control 2 weeks after the pre, 3 weeks after the early post, and 3 weeks after lay-by. So for the first trial, looking here, we used three rates of pethoxamid doing a rate comparison of 0.75, 1, and 1.25 pounds active ingredient per acre. And then we used S-metolachlor, which, as I said, we used dual magnum, and the acetachlor, which was warrant, to kind of compare rates to see how in a rate comparison. To set up this graph here, on the left side, we'll have percent control of the palmer amaranth, and on the bottom would be 2, 3, and 4 weeks after treatment. As you can see, pethoxamid at the 1 pound and 1.25 pound per acre at the later ratings of 3 and 4 weeks exhibited better control than the 0.75 pound per acre. Now we're looking at metolachlor compared to that, and it did exhibit pethoxamid at 2 weeks performed similar to metolachlor, and looking at the 3 and 4 weeks did exhibit a little bit better control than metolachlor. Then looking at acetachlor, pethoxamid and metolachlor both outperformed the acetachlor. For the second trial here, We'll be looking at the, this is just a simple map of the herbicides that we applied in the rates, because it's going to get a little confusing because there's quite a few treatments that we have for this. But we used acetochlor, which used the Warrant, and for the esmetoclor, we used Bill Magnum. So this is a listing of the pre's and post treatments that we had, just summarized. So for our pre's, to set up this chart right here, on the made it the left side, we have percent control. On the bottom, we'll have the treatments that were applied. So for this, we only used three pre's, so I summarized it as that. But each treatment will be listed as pre, early post, late post, mid post, as percent control. And if there's a dash in the box, then there was nothing applied at that point. So as you can see, diuron exhibited the best control in pethoxamine and acetochlor. In this example, 2 weeks after pre provided similar control. As same kind of similar story with Borne grass, diuron performed better than a pethoxamine or acetochlor. And looking here, 3 weeks after early post, as I said, the early post is listed here with no treatment being applied where the dashes are. As you can see, the ones that contain the early post treatment 3 weeks after for Palmer amaranth exhibited more control than just a pre-emergence herbicide applied by itself. Even though we did just apply diuron to the early post treatments. But as I have it abbreviated here, PETH is pethoxamate, and GOI glyphosate, and GOUF is glufosinate. Then for barnyard grass, kind of similar story here as the ones that did contain the broad spectrum and a residual at that early post treatment did exhibit better control than just a pre-emergent by itself. And this is looking at 3 weeks after the lay-by on your Palmer amaranth. A little more variation in the data here, but as you can see, those programs that contain the pre and early post, a mid post, and a lay-by application did exhibit better control than something such as on the far left with the acetochlor as a pre, the mid post, and the lay-by did not exhibit as good control 3 weeks after the lay-by. So looking at that, you can see that you know, it's important to have a full program in your cotton weed control. And then kind of a similar thing here with the barnyard grass, even though there was not as much variation, but you know, the use of that early post with a mid post really in some examples helped with the weed control a lot better. Looking at injury on this, you know, you can see that the diuron did exhibit more injury than acetochlor and pethoxamate, even though its performance was a little bit better. But once again, you know, the injury on that was not, there was quite a bit of variation in that, so there was not much significance to it being less than 15% where in any example. So from this, you can the conclusions to take away, pethoxamide, when applied pre, was less injurious than a diuron, but similar to acetochlor, yet it's safe to apply pre to cotton. 2 weeks after, the pre provided similar control to acetochlor and less control than diuron, and control was increased, as Whitaker found, when a broad spectrum was tank mixed with the residual, such as metolachlor or pethoxamide. And as with other group 15s, there was no post-weed control seen. Other conclusions, pethoxamine when applied in the program showed increased control when a pre of diuron was followed by an early post application of a broad spectrum and a residual tank mix, as I said, similar to Whitaker's findings. Treatments that did contain the full program of a pre, early post, mid, late post, and a lay-by application exhibited the longest weed control and the best weed control. Pethoxamine's performance was equivalent to metolachlor, which we used dual, and superior to acetochlor for Warrant. Pethoxamine also will provide another option for Palmer amaranth and grass control. So for conclusion, we fail to reject our hypothesis that pethoxamine's performance is comparable or superior to other chlorosacetamide herbicides currently on the market. For future research, we'll be able to, you know, look at evaluating pethoxamine in other crops such as soybeans, and evaluate its weed control spectrum for large cedar grasses such as Texas panicum. At this time, I'll take any questions.
Any questions for James?
Yeah, man. Did you have a head-to-head comparison with pest control for pre-emergence? And if you did, I mean, what would be the advantage of using this material over just another application of pest control for pre?
We did not do a head-to-head comparison with S-metolachlor, if I understand the question correctly. An advantage, this was just to look, basically look and see if pethoxamid would be another option that was superior to S-metolachlor, basically is what we were looking at.
Any other questions? All right, let's thank our speaker.